Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Again, the fourth segment, the weekly multiple listing sales update, we're going to cover the last 2 weeks of the year 2010 because we played a rebroadcast for the last week of the year. Joining me now, Mr. Rob Coldren from the law firm Hart King & Coldren out of Los Angeles. We're going to talk a little bit about a local issue, but we'll talk about the broad impact of this issue about taking, about private property rights and taking. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Rob.
Happy New Year, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you. You too. You know, if I can start off the program with a suggestion before we jump into the topic, a little ad slogan for you. The law firm with a heart.
Wow, man. You should have been a lawyer.
Hart, King, and Coldren.
There
just thought
go.
That.
Or maybe King Coldren.
King Coldren. So here's what's going on. We see periodically, I read all these articles that the Santa Barbara News Press follows, Goleta rent control upheld by appeals court. And I'm just going to, if I could, just give you a couple of sentences about a take on this subject, and then we can talk about it. The concept is, or the debate, or the issue is transfer of wealth. The owners of the park say that the severe restrictions imposed, primarily on rent increases, unfairly limits their profits, and at the other hand, greatly enhances the value of the coaches. So they sell for far more than their true market value, and rent control inflating their worth. And the tenants claim that without rent control and related restrictions, they're at the landlord's mercy because either the coaches have aged to the point where they can't be moved without damage, too expensive. So they say the owner would have them over a barrel, could raise rents to unconscionable levels. So is that two sides of the issue? And would you say anything not true in what I just said? Or
no, I think you fairly characterized the polar positions of the parties, Mark.
Okay. So, give us a little background on how you're involved and what you're fighting for, and what's in your corner.
Super. Well, I've been representing the industry, property rights interests, and mobile home parks as well for probably 30 years, ever since I started practicing law. And mobile home park rent control has unfortunately found its way into a number of cities and counties here in California. This sort of a price-fixing scheme was adopted in the county of Santa Barbara in, I think, the late 70s. And then it bumped along, and then in 2000, there were a couple of amendments to mobile home park rent control in the county. And then in 2002, City of Goleta incorporated. And when they incorporated, my client, Dan Guggenheim's mobile home park, had been located in the unincorporated area and was brought into the city. And one of the things the city has to do when they incorporate is they have to decide which of the laws of the county they're going to take and which they're going to reject. And we urge them, of course, not to take this very ill-considered social policy type legislation of rent control, but they nonetheless did it. And so Mr. Guggenheim sued because his property had been diminished in value by some 80 to 90%, according to one of the experts who testified by declaration in the case.
Wow. You know, when I've read about the debate, it seems like on the side of the owner, your side, that you were proposing not to, you know, I started the program and I said that the owner would have them over a barrel and could raise rents to unconscionable levels. I seem to recall reading that while you wanted to do away with the rent control, you were also offering something for the folks who were in there already to hang on to so they wouldn't basically be out on the street. Is that true?
My client has been extremely reasonable in trying to deal with the city of Goleta and has held out olive branches routinely. Unfortunately, what's happened is that there's a very small, vocal minority of residents in the community, largely the people who live in these mobile homes in the parks, that go down to City Hall and for whatever reason, convince the city council that they're a political force to be reckoned with. And so despite the fact that rent control has been proven all over the country to simply not work, it doesn't provide affordable housing, it doesn't benefit the people it's supposed to benefit, the city nonetheless has committed hundreds of thousands of dollars of the taxpayers of Goleta's treasury to trying to protect these windfall amounts that these mobile home tenants can get when they sell their home. I mean, Mark, realize that a 1971 single-wide Fleetwood mobile home has a Blue Book value. You can look it up in a you know, like you'd look up a car, a used car. It has an NADA Blue Book value of maybe $10,000 or $15,000. And yet homes in my client's park have sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars. So you have to ask yourself, what is that tenant selling? Is the tenant selling this piece of tin, or is the tenant selling the present discounted value of my client's land? In other words, the below market rents.
You know, it's interesting, again, talking with Rob Coldren, the law firm of Hart King and Coldren out of Los Angeles, and the discussion is the rent control and the taking of property, private property rights, rent control. Not a lot of rent control here in Santa Barbara. Rent control in Santa Monica to a hard degree. Mm-hmm. Rent control in New York City. I grew up in the suburbs of New York. And in Santa Barbara here, the only other thing that comes to mind, the way you were phrasing it, is how something of value increases in value because of the rent control is the Santa Barbara Harbor and the slips.
Yeah. That's a good analogy, actually, I think, Mark. And there are other cities in your neck of the woods that have rent control, mobile home park rent control, because mobile home park owners are represent a fairly small group of property owners by and large, and because mobile home tenants have been perceived as being vulnerable and politically very well organized historically. Rent control in the county of Santa Barbara has really been limited to mobile home parks. Carpinteria has rent control. The city of Santa Barbara has rent control for mobile home parks. The county has mobile home park rent control. So there are quite a few areas within the within Santa Barbara where mobile home park owners are price fixed, and it's just really sad because. When, first off, perhaps this would be, if you'd find this of interest as well, we are not contending that rent control per se is illegal or unconstitutional. I think it's very bad public policy, and I think everybody who studied the issue has concluded it doesn't achieve what it's supposed to achieve. But it's constitutional, if you will, for local government to pass rent control. The question is, what kind of rent control? And the 800-pound gorilla in the city of Goleta's rent control law is something called no vacancy decontrol, which is to say it's one thing to limit what you can charge an existing tenant for rent, but it's completely something else to allow that tenant to, in effect, monetize the value of your land. And when Mrs. Jones, who owns her 1971 Fleetwood, sells her trailer to Mrs. Smith, she basically sells rent control to Mrs. Smith for $150,000 or more in some cases. And your listeners, I think, should understand what's going on here. Mrs. Jones takes that money from the community, and leaves. Why is she selling her home? Because she's leaving the Santa Barbara area. She leaves. And what does she leave Mrs. Smith with? Probably with a horrible mortgage that is unsustainable.
You know, it's very interesting that you mention the no vacancy decontrol. And has your client proposed that the folks that exist currently in the mobile home park, that their rents would stay where they are to some degree But only that they couldn't be transferred, as you just said, to the next buyer?
I don't want to negotiate a settlement.
Why don't we do that?
Air, but
why don't we do that
you.
Right now? Let's just finalize this issue, and we can just send them. We can cut a deal.
Yeah, well, you're more reasonable than apparently the city fathers of Goleta. But I would invite all of your listeners to consider asking the city council, how much have we spent on this rent control issue? Who has it benefited? And what has it done to improve the quality of life in the city of Goleta? And finally, and perhaps most importantly, what kind of exposure have we subjected the entire treasury of all the taxpayers of Goleta to in this folly and this endeavor? My client has offered at various points all kinds of settlements. The centerpiece of a lot of them has been what we call full vacancy decontrol, which is to say that rent control stays in effect for the existing residents in the mobile home park, and then when the home is sold to somebody who has no obligation to come in and buy a home, is not, no one can claim that that person is a captive, but when that person moves in, that person's rent gets set at whatever the market will bear.
Now the market will bear. So when you were saying, though, there are other mobile home parks throughout Carpinteria, City of Santa Barbara County, who's under rent? Are they all under rent control?
All these mobile home parks in the jurisdictions that I have mentioned are under rent control unless they have what are called green bill leases. A tenant and a park owner can voluntarily enter into a rent control exempt long-term lease if they want to. But I think you'd be surprised if you looked around at how many of these parks are subject to rent control.
And what about the market? Let's say the proposal, which, as you put it, full vacancy decontrol, which would benefit the people. In fact, you said earlier that, you know, this rent control doesn't benefit the people it's supposed to help. But I imagine the people who are living in the mobile home park paying cheap rent, they say, well, it's benefiting us.
Sure. If you owned a trailer in a mobile home park in the city of Goleta, you would be a fan of the city of Goleta's rent control law because you can probably sell your home, your trailer, your piece of tin, for more than it is worth in your wildest dreams on the open market. But if you're in any other position at all, if you're any other person living within the city of Goleta, all you're doing as a voter within the city supporting this scheme and supporting the councilmen that promote the scheme, men and women that promote the scheme, all you're doing is perpetuating an absence of affordable housing in the city. You are lining the pockets of a few individuals who are going to take their profits and leave the city, and you are saddling your current residents that buy these trailers and live in them with large mortgages that they probably certainly shouldn't have had to incur.
It seems like if this full vacancy decontrol that you mentioned, which would protect the people who are there now, mm-hmm. and wouldn't raise their rent, and then when the coach goes for sale, the new rent would be placed. There's usually, under listings, there's existing space rent, and then there's always something called new space rent to new buyer.
Right.
And so sometimes there's some, you know, modest increase or whatever increase it is. It might be a little, you know, a larger increase. But if the owner was not in tune with the market, and he said the new space rent was going to go from, in fact, there's a mobile home park in Carp. A buddy of mine had a listing. It just reminded me, and I think the rent is like $1,000 or something, and he has it listed for some reason, and he doesn't even want to take calls on it, and no one's going to buy it. So if the owner puts a market rent on it, a rent that's not market rent, but so out of the ballpark, mm-hmm. it won't sell. And then the owner won't get the rent increase. So it seems like it would be to his benefit to just simply increase it so it's still competitive and so the owner can still sell. That would be one thing that comes to mind. The other thing is, I remember speaking to some people who, very wealthy people who are not what you envision when you say, God, we should have a little rent control. I do kind of feel sorry for that old lady that lives there, and she, you know, working on just barely covering, and we don't want to jack up her rent. But you get these wealthy people who'd like to buy that 1971 Fleetwood that you talked about and just simply haul it away and put something in brand new and take advantage of the low rent. And in that respect, that's where I kind of agree with you on the one hand, is that it's giving the profit of real estate to the person who owned the mobile home park rather than the person who owns the real estate, as opposed to either sharing it some way or something. He gets aced out. And so that's the key element that I agree with. I'm just wondering how it can be come to a resolution where it's a win-win for everybody. Because let's say, for example, you get someone who bought the coach at the height of the market, mm-hmm. and now all mobile homes, instead of being worth, you know, $500,000, they're worth $300,000, mm-hmm. and so then they go to sell it, and then the new space rent has to, you know, so they would kind of be caught. But people get caught in the market. But you know, the person who bought it in 1970 is clearly not going to get burned.
Right, and Mark, I think you make a very good point. You know, when someone buys, goes and invests in housing, the people that are buying mobile homes, they don't really care about whether they're paying a mortgage or whether they're paying rent. All they care about is what their housing cost is. You know, so you can cut it any way you want to, but. It's really just like a tube of toothpaste. You push at one end, and it, you know, comes out the other, and vice versa. You know, the higher the rent, relative, all other things being equal, the higher the rent, the lower the selling price of the trailer. The lower the rent, the higher the selling of the trailer. But you're right that market forces are going to determine what a park owner is going to do. No park owner is going to charge more than market for the space, because he's going to wind up with either an empty mobile home park, or he's going to be, as you've pointed out, he's going to be denied the benefit of being able to modestly raise his rents on turnover. So, you know, what's wrong with vacancy decontrol? What's wrong with full vacancy decontrol?
Right, saving the people who are there, keeping right. them protected, but just maybe instead of them making, you know, X percent of profit, their profit goes down a little, and then the owner gets to participate in the profit. Talking with Rob Coldren, the law firm of Hart, King and Coldren, so dubbed the law firm with a heart. That's just too corny, isn't it? That I made up. He didn't say that, so don't attribute that to him. So, it's kind of interesting. Do you know a fellow named Walter Golis?
No.
He is a fellow I've known for years and years and years as a real estate agent, and he actually, I think he owns or has owned mobile home parks, and I don't know if they're in California, and he has kind of been an agent to sell mm-hmm. mobile home parks. And I really should have asked him what's been going on, or I don't know if you know this, but I wonder how many new tenant-occupied mobile home parks have been built in the past 20 years.
Zero. In California, there have been mobile home sites or spaces added within, say, the past decade to existing to a few existing mobile home parks, but there have been no new parks built. None.
And you think it's because of this rent control, and the owner he doesn't want to go out on a limb, or he doesn't want to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a model that it's an economic model that was providing and could in the future provide tremendous housing value for you know, entry level home buyers, people between that you know, apartment and home and house. And now that's being denied to this entire segment of the marketplace.
Which, interestingly enough, makes it more competitive. And instead of benefiting people who could maybe use a more affordable place to live, not a condo, not a house. And I'll tell you, some of these mobile home parks, you know, you did make some references to the boxes of tin. But I tell you, some of these things are unbelievably plush and wide and beautiful, right?
They're beautiful. They've got ocean views, and The beauty is they've got $200 rents.
But well, really? Is that what the rents are out at the park? Because I thought
now I am exaggerating.
There are
parks in the state where there are ocean views and $300 rents.
But the idea is the irony is that the rent control prevents entrepreneurs, property owners, people with money who want to buy and make an investment, make a decent return. So it's limiting the number of mobile home parks, which then limits the number of people who can enjoy an affordable home. So I can see the irony of rent control not benefiting, you know, it's preventing people. Now, occasionally, and there's a couple in town where they become purchased by the owners, and I guess that's just an owner, maybe a mobile home park owner who's 80 years old, and instead of distributing his estate one way, he just decides to sell it.
There's a variety of things. For example, my client has also applied to the city of Goleta to subdivide his mobile home park so that he can then sell off the individual lots to the existing residents and give them the opportunity to own their own land.
Oh, he'd be willing. Yeah, that seems like a fan. You know, that's always seems to be a real benefit when people are looking at mobile home parks where you own the land. You never have the issue of worrying about rent. You know, you do have to either have $80,000 or you take out a mortgage or something, mm-hmm. or a loan. It's not a mortgage, I guess. It's a corporate. So they won't let them do that?
Well, no. The city, in fact, has said, terrific, wonderful. We think that's a fine idea. Guess who doesn't like the idea?
But I'm sure he
guess. People who don't like the idea are the existing tenants in the mobile home park.
100% of them?
Most of them, or many of them, or a misguided number, a few of them.
Or the vocal ones.
The vocal ones, yes. Why do you suppose that the existing tenants in the mobile home park would not want to have the opportunity to own their own land? Because the state of California has very wisely and properly passed a state law that says once a mobile home park has been subdivided and once one lot has been sold to one tenant, then there is full vacancy decontrol.
And that means
everybody.
That existing folks will not have their rent raised, but new folks would?
Better. Under state law, if you subdivide a mobile home park and you sell one lot, the low and very low income folks in the mobile home park, they enjoy a rent freeze, and their rent can never go up more than the CPI for the entire time they stay in the mobile home park. With respect to anybody else in the mobile home park, they also benefit from a form of statewide rent control in that their rents cannot be brought to market. They have to be brought to market over, I think it's a 3-year period.
You know what? It'll be very interesting to continue watching this. It's unbelievable. It's turned into an unbelievable battle. Mr. Rob Cauldron has been my guest with the law firm of Hart, King & Cauldron. We're under our own form of rent control here. We have to play commercials, so we're going to have to end this interview.
Hey, Happy New Year, Mark.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much for joining me.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Rob Cauldron, Hart, King & Cauldron. The battle continues duking it out between the mobile park, rent control, policy challenged by the owner, and then the tenants. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Mark Schneiman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com, 452-2428, 452-CHAT. We'll come back with what do we got down here? We got some interesting local stuff to tell you about. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.